earth is yours. The earth is yours. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for all the ways you surprise us, for those sweet, tender ways you whisper and call us beloved and guide us, O God. Meet us in this place. We offer you the meditations that are on our hearts, and we lift them up to you. Meet us in this place and remind us that what we have to offer is the transformation that you have done in our hearts and our lives that empower us and equip us to offer ourselves in your service. The earth is yours, as we are. Amen. We begin to move into the Gospel of Mark. Mark has a very interesting, Mark is kind of a touchy-feely kind of gospel. You know, a little bit different than the Gospel of Luke. Mark really wants to draw you in. He really wants to help you connect with the good news that he has come to understand. I think he really likes to capitalize on those moments when Jesus throws out the zingers. That's one of the gifts I think Mark has. That's one of the things that's happening here. You know, the Pharisees are very busy. They are very busy making sure everyone does what they're supposed to do. We see here in the Gospel of Mark, they're very busy being the food police. And all of the ways in which people get food into their bodies. They're quite concerned that the disciples are not following the ritual cleansings that make you a good Jew. You see, the disciples were not eating with the ritual cleansing that's supposed to go before eating. Now, what does that make them? Unclean. And we just cannot have that. I mean, think about it today. How many commercials do you watch or are on in your presence that alert you to your cleanliness issues? I mean, we still have this going on today. We've got commercials on how this soap will help you get to every 2,000 parts of your body. Did you even know you had 2,000 parts? We have a lot of rules we're supposed to follow. Who creates those rules?
The pastor.
The pastor. Trust me, if I had such power. Our church communities create those rules. Society creates those rules. We have to have some rules in place, right? But the purity codes begin to separate and divide us. I mean, if we like listed all the purity codes from all the denominations across the spectrum, you'd barely get to move. You could breathe as long as you don't take up too much space. We create rules to keep people in place. We create laws to keep people safe. The challenge for us in our spiritual discipleship is to recognize the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. when a spiritual law is so dogmatic that it separates you from each other or from God, then we're in trouble. Because sometimes, if anybody here raised in a church where you're not allowed to dance? Uh-huh. Keep those hands up for a minute. Now, if you go dancing, put your hands down. So we have a couple folks here who still abide by the rule of no dancing, right? Oh, you dance. Oh, you dance, but you just don't go dancing. Thank you for that clarification. So really, there's no one in the room who was raised not to dance who gets that is going to keep you whole and clean, right? I mean, sometimes shaking it loose frees you up in a way that the Holy Spirit can really move, right? Come on. The gospel here is inviting us to look at the difference between what we were taught to believe and how we've come to understand the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I tell you what, there are just some times when you're on the dance floor and you are the closest to God you have ever been, or at least a goddess. I mean, you know, you're just out there going, oh, it just cannot get any better than this. That could just be another sermon. Jesus says to the Pharisees, who are really not happy with their reflections of what's going on with the disciples, he says to them, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Who's he talking to? Talking to the people who want to separate and divide. Now, I know that never happens here, right? We never, assess people's behavior based on what we've been taught is a good Christian, right? How many of you were raised in a church where this table was defined? Right? So if you're Roman Catholic, then you can't go to communion unless you're practicing Catholic. How many of you have slipped in a wafer in a Catholic church? Because we get the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, and no one should deny us our spiritual nourishment from this table. No one should deny us from that intimate experience with God. We get to define that. We get to decide that. We get to sift through those rules and spiritual laws that were, and I'm telling you what, if you were like this big, you know, like in the crib, that was your first day of church, like right, you know, right after you came out the womb, they brought you right to Sunday school. And there you stayed till you are fashioned and formed by the letter of the law. You know what is right and what is wrong. And then when you get to a place where you understand who you are in a new way, you come up to some dissonance in that tension. Can I get a witness? Have you ever been in a place where you feel like, oh my gosh, I have to make a choice here? All right, well, I didn't choose this, it just is. And I chose this, I guess I'll unchoose it. When I came out, I thought for sure the only thing I had left to unchoose was my Christian relationship with Jesus. Because I knew for sure I didn't choose the other. In fact, I'm pretty sure it chose me. Viable candidate as I was and am. And will always be. Jesus is inviting the Pharisees to do some deeper introspection. I thought it was really important. You know, pastors, we get to pick and choose when we want to do the easy stuff and when we want to do the tough stuff. And I thought, well, you know, why not just, let's just do some tough stuff today. You game? Can we talk about sex for a second? Anybody uncomfortable with that? I just think it's worth mentioning here, because the scripture says sexual immorality in a list of other sins. And I think it's really important that we name it and claim it. Nobody gets to decide for us what is sexually immoral. We discern that for ourselves. We do get to decide whether or not murder is okay, right? Because that harms someone else. But as consenting adults, you discern what is respectful and caring for yourself. We don't need the church to tell us that information. Amen? Because we can get our own experience of discernment and trust our experience of God as God moves in and through our lives to discern what is moral and immoral for our lives. Now, if you've discerned that some activity that you're doing is not resonating with who you are and whose you are, then address it. Name it. Claim it. Do whatever you need to do to get it right. Amen? But nobody else gets to decide what you do in the privacy of your bedroom with your body. I cannot tell you that I was the first person that came up with that. Troy Perry, the founder of UFMCC, in the late 1960s, got up in front of a microphone when you could still be arrested for being a gay or a lesbian person and said, "The state and the government and the church does not get to decide what I do with my private parts in the privacy of my own bedroom." And we're going to continue to teach that and preach that, no matter if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, intersex, queer, questioning, transgender, straight alliance, or anybody else on the planet. I just have an opinion about this. I believe we are mature enough and strong enough and centered enough to discern what defiles us and what swells us into being whole and empowered spiritual beings on this planet. Guerrillas of Grace, Prayers for the Battle by Ted Logger, offers us some really great reflections if you're struggling with how to get yourself centered. This poem prayer is called "Pry Me Off the Dead Center." Hear this as a prayer, as a challenge, as a point of inspiration. Oh, persistent God, deliver me from assuming your mercy is gentle. Pressure me that I may grow more human. not through the lessening of my struggles, but through the expansion of them, that will undam me and unbury my gifts. Unbury my gifts. What a gift that would be to your world, to your heart. Deepen my hurt until I learn to share it and myself with myself and openly and honestly. You ever walked up to somebody and said, "How you doing?" And they say, "Fine." What would happen if they said, "You know what, I'm really hurting today. Can you hold some of it for me?" If we could begin to hold it in a healthy way, not in a, "Oh yeah, tell me everything." Guess what? You know what I'm talking about here. That does not swell our souls. Sharpen my fears until I name them. Imagine the power in that. To name our fears. You know they lose their paralytic grab on our souls when we name them. Probably even on our bodies. That frees us. Release the power I have locked in them and they have in me. Accentuate my confusion until I shed those grandiose expectations that divert me from the small, glad gifts of the now and the here and the me. Expose my shame when it shivers, crouched behind the curtain of priority, until I can laugh at last. Through my common frailties and failures, laugh my way towards becoming whole. That's when we're free. Deliver me from just going through the motions and waiting and wasting everything I have, which today is a chance, a choice, my creativity, and your call. Release me from going through the motions. How often do we find ourselves going through the motions? How many times have you, like, needed to go someplace and you get in your car and you get on the highway that takes you to your job? Hello? And all of a sudden you're halfway there and you're like, "Oh, what am I doing? We're going through the motions." What'd you say? It's Saturday. Well, some days we just don't know what day it is, right? Oh, persistent God, let me know how much it matters. Pry me off my dead center so I am moved inside to tears, to sighs, to screams, to smiles, to dreams. Open me, free me. Then I will be real. And I will be in touch with who I am and who you are and who my sisters and brothers are. Pry me off my dead center so I can see what I consume that defiles me. And so I can see what is available for me to drink deeply, for me to open myself and be free from the chains and the shame that binds me, from all that I have been taught I cannot be. Free me to be me. And in that place, I can share you. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for the opportunity to be reminded to do introspection, to reflect on the ways in which you have called us to be free, to move off our dead center and move into that place where we are completely centered in your grace, in your love, in your freedom, in the gifts of creativity, waiting for each of us. Bless us, O God, as we continue this great work in Christ's name. Amen.
Still.